play button.
Oh, there we go.
Jaya Rama Rama 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 Jaya Rama
Divine Dave Lacey, Bhakti Pradhapati Swamiraj, Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Gaura Premanande, glorious to the sound of the all glorious to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Magana Timanandasya Yananjana Salakaya Daksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mnobisham Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Vidati Swapidantitam Vandeham Shri Guru, Shri Uta Padakamalam, Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam, Sarvaitam Savadutam, Vrijana Saitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padam, Sahagana Lalita, Shri Visakans Vitans Cha, Hey Krishna Karna Sindho, Dinabando Digatate, Gobesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute, Tapta Kanchina Gorangi, Radhe Vrindavane Shri, Vrishubhana Sutta Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye, Vanchakapa Dhruvyascha, Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha, Paditanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shadvaita Gadadhar Srivastavi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 Nice to be here during the 7th annual Rath Yatra in Hillsboro. This is the second, third annual Rath Yatra. Hopefully one day it'll be as big as the Rath Yatra in Jagannath Puri. Only time is separated. So today, or this evening, we're going to read from the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter 4, text number 10. Chapter 4 is called Transcendental Knowledge. Vita raga bhaya krodha man maya mama pashitya bhava gyana tapasa bhuta madhava magata. Being free from attachment, from fear and from anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many persons of the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all developed transcendental love for me. Subhra's purport, as described above, it is very difficult for a person who is materially affected to understand the nature of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Generally, people are attached to the bodily conception of life, are so absorbed in materialism that it is almost impossible for them to understand how the Supreme can be a person. Such materialists cannot imagine that there is a transcendental body which is imperishable, full of knowledge, and eternally blissful. In the materialistic concept, the body is perishable, full of ignorance, and completely miserable. Therefore, people in general keep the same bodily idea in mind when they are informed of the personal form of the Lord. For such materialistic men, the form of the gigantic material manifestation is supreme. Consequently, they consider the supreme to be impersonal. And because they are too materially absorbed, the conception of retaining the personality after liberation from matter frightens them. When they are informed that spiritual life is also individual and personal, they become afraid of becoming persons again. And so they naturally prefer a kind of merging into the impersonal void. Generally, they compare the living entities to the bubbles of the ocean, which merge into the ocean. That is the highest perfection of spiritual existence obtainable without individual personality. This is a kind of fearful stage of life, devoid of perfect knowledge of spiritual existence. Furthermore, there are many persons who cannot understand spiritual existence at all. Being embarrassed by so many theories and by contradictions of various types of philosophical speculation, they become disgusted or angry and foolishly conclude that there is no supreme cause and that ultimately everything is void. Such people are in a diseased condition of life. Some people are too materially attached and therefore do not give attention to spiritual life, and some of them want to merge into the supreme spiritual cause, and some of them disbelieve in everything, being angry at all sorts of spiritual speculation out of hopelessness. This last class of men take to the shelter of some kind of intoxication, and their affective hallucinations are sometimes accepted as spiritual vision. One has to get rid of all three stages of attachment to the material world: negligence of spiritual life, fear of a spiritual personal identity, and the conception of void that arises from frustration in life. To get free from these three stages of the material concept of life, one has to take complete shelter of the Lord, guided by the bona fide spiritual master, and follow the disciplines and regular principles of devotional life. The last stage of the devotional life is called bhava, or transcendental love of Godhead. According to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1:4:15-16, the science of devotional service, Adal Shada Tata Sadhu Sango Ta Bhajna Kriya Tato Nartan Riti Syat Tato Nishta Riti Tata Tata Saktis Tato Bhavas Tata Prema Vyudanshati Sada Khana Mayam Prema Pradur Bhave Pavetama. In the beginning, one must have a preliminary desire for self-realization. This will bring one to the stage of trying to associate with persons who are spiritually elevated. In the next stage, one becomes initiated by an elevated spiritual master, and under his direct instruction, the neophyte devotee begins the process of devotional service. By execution of devotional service under the guidance of the spiritual master, one becomes free from all material attachment, attains steadiness and self-realization, and acquires a taste for hearing about the Absolute Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. This taste leads one further forward to attachment for Krishna consciousness, which is matured in bhava, or the preliminary stage of transcendental love of God. Real love for God is called prema, the highest perfectional stage of life. In the prema stage, there is constant engagement in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So by the slow process of devotional service, under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, one can attain the highest stage, being free from all material attachment, from the fearfulness of one's individual spiritual personality, and from the frustrations that result in void philosophy, then one can ultimately attain to the abode of the Supreme Lord. Vita raga vaya krodha man maya mamupachitya bahava gyana tapasa buddha madhavam agata. Being freed from attachment, from fear and from anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all developed transcendental love, or attained transcendental love for me. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Janamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desatarana. One great devotee in summarizing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, has said, Arajo Bhagavan Vrajeshas Tadanu Vrindaranam. That is, our worshipful deity is Arajo Bhagavan, and he's the son of Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan. And there's no better way of worshipping Lord Krishna than that which was conceived or practiced by the damsels of Raja. And if we want to understand how to come to the platform that the residents of Vrindavan attained or were situated on, Srimad Pramanam Amala Param, Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amala Param, that Srimad Bhagavatam is the Amala Purana, or the spotless Purana, and it gives us the evidence how we ourselves can come to the platform of the residents of Vrindavan. And what is that goal? Prema Pumartha Mahan. That our original state is to be absorbed in unlimited love for Krishna. So that may seem to us at the present moment rather far, a goal which is far from our present ability to conceive of or possibility to achieve. We wonder how can we develop so much love for one person. But actually, as I've explained before, we've already developed love for one thing, that we're completely focused and fixed upon our relationship with this present body. Instead of dedicating our lives to Krishna, focusing our minds upon Krishna, we've now focused our minds upon this body which we've made our worshipful deity. Whatever the body demands, whatever the body doesn't demand, we're always focusing on how to make the body as comfortable as possible. Like Mother Jasoda was always thinking about Krishna's welfare. Did he eat? Was he safe? Did he have proper clothing on? Similarly, we've taken this body just like baby Krishna. And we're always absorbed in thoughts. Is the body well-dressed? Is it well-fed? Is it comfortable? Is it feel good? Am I taking proper care of it? Does everyone love it? Do they appreciate it? Are they saying nice things about it? We've focused our attention and completely given our love to this body. And in relationship to this body, we've expanded our love to so many other things. Anything that's in connection with this body, I take to be worshipable also. because I was born in a certain place, in a certain country. Therefore, that country has become very important in my life. Because I was born into a certain family, that family becomes very significant. We like to hear about the name, the form, the pastimes, the associates of our family. And because anything that has a relationship to this body, my wife, my children, my land, my house, they all become very important to me. But actually, I'm not this body, and by my worshiping this body, giving all my attention to the body, I make absolutely no progress in understanding who I actually am. Of course, that does not mean that we should neglect the body. That the body is a gift given to us by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and it has a purpose. When Sanatana Goswami, who had come to Jagannath Puri to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went through the forest of Jharikhanda. And on his way through the forest, there was very few restaurants in the forest at that time. There were no internet to call for some prasad. He had to walk through the forest, and he didn't have a car to store or a truck to bring his food with. He had to eat whatever was available in the forest. And in the forest, there were no signs about whether anything was dangerous or safe. So one day he bathed in a lake which was contaminated. And after bathing in the lake, he developed itching sores all over his body. He came to Jagannath Puri, and when Lord Chaitanya used to see him at Jagannath Puri, he'd embrace him with his arms. But when Lord Chaitanya would embrace him, then some of the fluid that came out of his sores would smear all over the body of Lord Chaitanya. Sanatana Goswami thought that this was a great offense, and he decided one year that he'd commit suicide by falling underneath the wheels of the Jagannath cart during the Rath Yatra festival. But Lord Chaitanya one day, he told Sanatana Goswami he was talking to Sanatana Goswami and Haridas Thakur also. And he said to Haridas Thakur that this man, he wants to destroy someone else's property. Sanatana Goswami, I have so many plans for his body. I have plans that he's going to excavate so many different places of pastimes. He's going to write books on the science of devotional service, but he wants to destroy this body, which is actually the property of someone else. Sanatana Goswami could understand that Lord Chaitanya was omniscient and that he did not approve of his committing suicide underneath the wheels of the Jagannath car. Factually, this body that we love is not ourselves, nor is it our body. The body belongs to Krishna. Indeed, the whole material universe belongs to Krishna, but because we're falsely thinking that this is my body, therefore, by the influence of the illusory energy, we're forced to identify with it. So not that we should not take care of it, but we should take care of it as Krishna's property. And taking care of it as Krishna's property, we should make sure that we utilize it in Krishna's service. But why don't we do that? Here are some of the reasons why we don't do it or explain. Because under the influence of Maya, or the illusory energy, we have certain misconceptions about life. The first misconception is that we don't perceive anything beyond the material energy. Although in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives us very clear knowledge that what is the difference between matter and spirit? He says that matter is always changing. So that we can see, just like now, all of us are gathered here, but never was the same situation before. Even since time immemorial, there's never been the same arrangements of souls in the same bodies, etc. This is a unique situation that will never occur again. Similarly, throughout the whole universe and the many universes that exist during the breathing of Lord Brahma, at every moment there's some new arrangement in the material nature that has never happened before and will never happen again. In other words, everything in the material world is always changing at every moment. But we ourselves, who are the perceivers of all these variegated arrangements, we're always exactly the same soul. We never grow bigger or smaller. We may never become really more intelligent or less intelligent. We never become wealthier or poorer. We always remain exactly the same soul, eternally. But if my body is in ignorance, then I think that there's nothing beyond matter. Then I think that I am the body and that I'm only going to live during the duration of this body. At the end of the body, I disappear forever. And if I am in passion, then I have so many speculations about what is reality. I may think that the soul is the same as the body, or I may think that all the souls are God, or I may think that beyond the soul there's no supreme soul. All the souls ultimately merge together and become one soul, that I am you and you are me, and we are all together. So many speculations. And in the mode of goodness, I may understand that I'm an eternal being, but even if I understand that I'm an eternal being and that everyone is an individual living entity, still, I may not know what is my spiritual identity. I may not know what my spiritual activities are. Therefore, there are many varieties of bewilderment in the material world, but all of them are at once eliminated as soon as I take to the process of sincerely following the devotional path to Krishna. Just like the spark. When the spark is in the fire, it grows very brightly. There's no need for the spark to get any encouragement other than just being in the fire. You can explain to the spark its original position. You can try and fan the spark, trying to get it to get a little brighter. You can pray to the spark. You can encourage the spark. You can say, actually, you're a big spark. Don't. But the way the spark will actually glow brighter is if it's actually associating in the fire. Similarly, if somehow or another we become conscious of Krishna. And what is that consciousness of Krishna? Being willing to utilize this body in Krishna's service. Being willing to utilize our words to talk about Krishna. To be willing to think about Krishna. To see Krishna not only in his form with the peacock feather and the blooming eyes like lotus petals, with a figure of beauty tinged with the hue of blue clouds, and his unique loveliness charming millions of cupids. We should think of Krishna like that, as the cowherd boy in Vrindavan, the son of Mother Jasoda, who has surrounded by so many cowherd boys and cowherd girls, who loves the cows in Vrindavan and herds them every day, who has pastimes such as the Rasa dance or the lifting of Govardhan Hill or the killing of the Kaliya serpent or the defeating of the Agasura and Bakasura, Vyomasura, Danukasura, so many asuras. But we can also see Krishna everywhere. Yomam Sarva Bhutasam Atmanam Sarva Bhutani Chatmani Ikshate Yoga Yukta Atma Sarvatra Samadarshanaha. That the true yogi observes me in all beings and also sees me in every being. Indeed, the self-realized soul sees me, the same Supreme Lord, everywhere. And for one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. So actually, there is nothing but Krishna, Krishna's energies. Krishna's energies include this entire material creation, plus all the eternal souls here. And what is Krishna's pastime here in the material world? It's the pastime of liberating the conditioned souls, bringing them back to the spiritual kingdom. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's come here for that pastime. He's come here to spread the Sankirtan movement, engage people in the sacrifice for this age, Sankirtan Jaga, and he's come to engage his associates in spreading that Sankirtan movement. So all of us gathered here, we're associates of Lord Chaitanya, and it's our duty to spread the Sankirtan movement. It's every living entity is exactly like we are. Chanaka Pandit says, Matri Vat Paradareshu, Paradwareshu Lostrava, Atmavat Sarabhuteshu, Yat Pashiti Sapanditaha. That even a civilized person, even one who's not a spiritualist, but just civilized, they see every woman, except one's own wife, to be just like one's mother. One sees all property, except for whatever Krishna has given us, to be just like garbage in the street. And one sees all living entities to be just like one's own self. So that's a fact. The only thing that differentiates us materially is that we're in different material bodies. But every soul, at least qualitatively, is the same. Although we have separate identities, we all have the same spiritual nature. We all have the same interest, that is serving Krishna. We all derive pleasure from experiencing other souls serving Krishna. So if we want to become happy, we have to transform every relationship we have from matter to spirit. Of course, that starts in the home. That is, the husband and the wife have to engage in devotional service, and they have to encourage their children to also engage in devotional service. Sitting down morning and evening, chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, worshiping the deities. And then, as we gain experience in becoming more and more conscious of Krishna, then we become, as our service attitude towards Krishna develops, then we'll understand that Lord Krishna, he wants that we should all become instruments for spreading Krishna consciousness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Yari Deka Tari Kaha Krishna Upadesh Amara Aigaya Guruhana Tari Desh. That whoever you meet, you should instruct them about the science of Krishna consciousness. And this way, you become a spiritual master and you deliver your world wherever you are. So this is not very difficult. As I think I explained before, we're Some early devotees, they had a small child named Saraswati. Shyamasundar Prabhu and Malati Devi Dasi. And Prabhupada was very fond of Saraswati. What's that? What was that? And he used to explain how Saraswati was a great preacher, although she was only 2 years old. She used to go up to people and ask them, do you know who Krishna is? And if they said no, Saraswati would tell them that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada said, this is first-class preaching. Not very complicated. One time, one man came up to Saraswati and said, Saraswati, why you were in a challenging mood? He asked her, why are you worshiping Krishna? And little Saraswati, 2 years old, took her hand and slapped him across the face. And Prabhupada said, this is nishta, fixed. Therefore, preaching is not very difficult. Simply to tell people that Krishna is God. And if they want the proof, then we can give them a copy of the Bhagavad Gita or ask them to buy it. Krishna explains in great detail in Bhagavad Gita the proof of how he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything is revealed in the Bhagavad Gita. We don't even have to give them all the details. We simply have to read Bhagavad Gita ourselves and try to the best of our ability to encourage others to hear Bhagavad Gita, either from ourselves or from other devotees, or to read Bhagavad Gita themselves personally, hear the message of Krishna, so that gradually we become convinced that everyone, including ourselves, we're all eternal servants of Krishna. In the material world, we serve Krishna in forgetfulness and suffer, and in the spiritual world, we serve him in great happiness. Therefore, if we want to take up Krishna's service in this age, we should chant Hare Krishna with our friends and families. We should hear about Krishna with our friends and families. And then we should make friends with everyone in Krishna consciousness who are not opposed to Krishna consciousness, the innocent people, and try to remind them about their relationship with Krishna. Krishna will give us the intelligence, if we want it, as much as we want it, how to help others become conscious of him, of Krishna. But if we live in our Krishna consciousness to only our friends and families, then we'll falsely think that others are outside of being Krishna's servants. But everyone, eternally, Krishna says, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam, Videshe Arjuna Tishtati, Ramayan Sarva Bhutani, Yantra Rudani Maya. The Supreme Lord is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on machines made of material nature. So maybe in this life we've taken birth in America or India as a human being, but there's no guarantee that in every life we'll get the same body or being born in the same country, in the same species. So in some life, we may have the auspicious opportunity to associate with Krishna from our childhood, somehow or another. But we should also give that opportunity to others to become conscious of Krishna. And even if they do the smallest amount of service, that has eternal benefit. Neha bikramana shosti pratyavayo nabidite svapam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahatobaya. That on this path there is no loss of diminution, and even the smallest advancement will protect one from the greatest danger. We should tell our friends about Krishna. We should tell our enemies about Krishna so that they'll become our friends. We should tell the innocent about Krishna. We should learn the art of how to distribute these books as widely as possible. Prabhupada emphasized that. Prabhupada was not an ordinary devotee. He was an empowered devotee to spread Krishna consciousness around the world, and he wanted all his followers to read these books and distribute them to others. If we do that, then we'll actually be engaged in the highest mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of distributing transcendental knowledge. And we'll experience the happiness that comes from simply becoming an instrument in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Simply permitting Lord Chaitanya to utilize his energies in spreading the Sankirtan movement. And the more we become instruments, the more we become free from the false conception that it's my body and that I am the doer of all these activities. The more the body is engaged in Krishna service, the more we become free from our false ego, the more we become enlightened and enlivened, happy in devotional ecstasy. So though it seems very simple to read these books and distribute them to others, it'll bring us to the highest platform of transcendental love for Krishna and bring us back to the spiritual world where there'll be no more problems and we'll be happy forever. So that's not bad. So thank you very much. Any questions, comments? Okay, what's the next part of the program? Arti. Okay. So now we have Arti. Grantirai Shrimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande
Hari Bol.
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai.
Where do I do?
We hit this pause.
I turned off the mic.
You want me to pause it?
Yeah, or stop it, I guess.